I have the opportunity as a pastor to be asked a number of questions about the Bible or subjects related to that. It's interesting, I get questions about future events occasionally. I get questions about divorce and remarriage. I've had many of those questions. But to be honest with you, what do you think is the question I get asked the most? The question that I get asked about the most has to do with God, and it can be asked in a number of ways, but one way it's been asked, is God punishing me? Is God disciplining me? Things just aren't going well. I can't seem to get it together. And something happens, and something happens, and something happens. Is God punishing me? Is God disciplining me? There's a couple different ways to ask that question. Well, it's interesting. The Bible does talk about this issue. One of the things when you go through times like that is you may be experiencing a trial. And we know that from James chapter 1. It tells us that. There may be trials in your life. Another side of that may be making such poor decisions. None of us wants to make a bad decision or a poor decision, but we do. And sometimes as a result of making a bad decision, it just multiplies. And we're just a result of our own decision making, poor decision making. But is there a case, is there an example where God may actually be disciplining us when we go through those difficult times? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Maybe you have been feeling like you're in this process. It feels like just banging your head on the wall and we just can't get ahead, can't move forward. Is God disciplining me? What we're going to do this morning is we're going to actually look at a case of this in the Old Testament. We have an example of someone being chastened or disciplined by the Lord. We're going to look at this example and we're going to ask the question, well, why would God even do this? Why would He do this to us? What we hope to have from this man's example is maybe some clearer thinking about this whole question of, is God disciplining me? We're in a series. It's a series entitled, God Can Use You. And if you look at your outline, we're going to be in this series for the next couple of weeks, but it's entitled, God Can Use You. And today, specifically, what we're talking about is God disciplining me? Is God disciplining me? We're going to be in Jonah today, chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 17. And in your Bibles, it's on page... It's coming. Okay. It's on page 635. But before we get to that, we need to talk about something else. Oh, bless you, my friend. All right. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us something about this. It says this, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate children and not true sons. So really, the short answer this morning is yes, God does discipline. If a father never disciplines his son, you know what that produces? A spoiled brat is what that produces. And don't say amen to that, I heard that. God does discipline us because He loves us. But we're going to find out really what is the reason for this. Now, we're in a series. Here we go. It's entitled, God Can Use You and Is God Disciplining Me? And we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 17. And it is on page 654. And the pastor messed up again, but that's the first of many times and many more times that I will. Amen? Maybe I don't want you saying amen to that. All right, here we go. There's a review from 2 weeks ago. God goes to Jonah, and God commissions him. He says, I want you to go tell those people over there in Nineveh. They are sinful people. I want you to go talk to them about my good news and my great message of hope and salvation for them. And Jonah says, no way, God. That's a scary thought. No way, God. I am going this way, and this way is Tarshish. But before he gets to Tarshish, he gets to a seaport called Joppa. And he says, I don't want anything to do with those people, God. You can't be talking to me. Verses 1, look at verse 2, and then verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. This is God's man, and he's trying to get away from God, and that just doesn't work. God says, go save these folks. I want to be merciful, gracious to them. Jonah says, they can burn. I don't care about them. That's what he said. Verse 4 continues our story. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Now, who is sending the wind? God is. In other words, God is going after his man. God is chastening someone. God is beginning to discipline someone. That's how we know this is about God doing this. It's interesting. These are sailors. They've been in many storms. These concern them, but as we're going to see in the rest of these verses, this was like no other storm they had seen. God was involved. Verse 5, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. It's interesting, they were afraid by this big storm, so maybe they tried a couple things, but eventually they got to crying out to their own gods. And there were probably many different gods possibly represented by this crew. And they cried out to them. At least they cried out to their God early on in the process. Think about your life. When you get into a mess, is God the first place we go? Sometimes it is, but many times it's not. At least these sailors, early in this process, turn themselves to God. Now, Jonah at this point is exhausted. He's trying to run from God, which you can't do. And he knows you can't do this. And he was just wiped out. And so he goes down, and if you can imagine, this is quite a storm. And he's able to sleep. You can just see how tired and emotionally spent he is. Look at verse 6. It says this. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. So he goes down in the cargo hole and he finds a guy sleeping, which is pretty amazing anyway. And he shakes him and he says, wake up, wake up. This is a storm like we've never seen. And we need help. Can you call on your God? Do you have some God that maybe could help us out of this mess? Our gods, they're not doing a whole lot here. Maybe you got a God that can. It says this. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. These are smart guys. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So you're Jonah. You're in the group here. They've all got straws in their hand, and they're pulling straws out. They may have done it a little differently than that, but we know the straw technique, don't we? That's how we might cast lots. And it comes around to this guy and this guy. Jonah's kind of off in the corner, maybe moving around to the other side. He knows it's his fault. So the straw comes to him and he pulls out the big, long straw. And they all look at him. He says, oh boy. And they say, okay, Jonah, By this technique, we've determined that you're the cause of this. What are we going to do now? So they asked him, verse 8, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us, buddy. What do you do? Where do you come from? Man, where is your country? And from what people are you? So now they get him in the corner and start interrogating him with all the who, what, when, where, and why kinds of questions that they throw at him. And Jonah says, okay, give me a minute. All right, let me tell you what's going on. Verse 9. He answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Okay, we've not heard about this God before. We've got lots of gods, but you're claiming this God created the heavens and the earth and the sea. Yes, I know he did. Okay, well, maybe he can do something about this sea, because we've not seen anything like this before. We don't know what to do. Verse 10. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done, Jonah? Come on, guy. What did you do to get him upset not only at you, but at us? What is going on? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Evidently, we don't have all the dialogue here, but he had told them that he was running away from the Lord, that God was in control of this, and we're just going to have to trust him. All right, so then they had a little meeting. All right, now what do we do? They said, I'll tell you what. We're experienced seamen. We can get through this. Let's see if we can row harder. Let's see if we can form and, come on, we can get through this storm. These storms don't last long. Let's give it our best shot. Verse 11. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. This idea was not working. So they asked him. After a while, they gave it their best shot. What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Now, how would you like to have that question given to you? If you're out on the ocean, I think even at the beach when the waves are large, it's a frightening thing sometimes, especially if you get in them. I know Chris Centeio's body surfed at Makapu and some other places on Oahu, and I have done that too, and there have been times when I have been frightened. Those are just small little waves. Probably what we might, and I wish that I could do this, and we will in the future, I could cut to a scene now from the George Clooney film where the Andrea Gale is going up some of these huge waves. That's probably more what this is like. Because these guys are terrified. They're trying to figure out, what can we do? How can we get out of this? It was bad. It was really, really bad. And Jonah said, man, I'll tell you what, at least at this point, he's a step-up guy. Verse 12. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and I know it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. He's a step-up guy. He says, I blew it. I was wrong. It's my fault. I should have been going that direction, and I'm now going that direction. I'm going the wrong way. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And he says, throw me in. Well, the crew said, I'm not sure we've lost a man yet. We're not going to do that. So what did they do? Instead, verse 13, the men did their best to row back to land. They're giving it a second shot here. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. The sea's now really getting rough. Maybe those waves, if you've seen that movie, just enormous waves. When you see in that particular movie, there's, Navy frogmen that go on the water to try and rescue people and yachts and things like that. And you just a sense of hopelessness. It had to be something close to that. Because they tried their best, and their best was not good enough. Verse 14. They then cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. They recognized, and they now, at this point, recognizing the storm, I sure had a part of this, recognizing, God, don't hold this one against us. We're doing what He says to do. We're going to throw him in. So, Jonah lies down. They grab him by his ankles. They grab him by his arms. They move over to the side with huge waves, splash, spray everywhere. One, two, three. And he goes in the water. They knew he was going to die. Nobody could survive probably in that kind of sea. Verse. They then took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Now this is unbelievable. They are in the midst of a huge, huge storm. And it takes enough courage to grab this guy and throw him in. They throw him in and it goes calm. Within a matter probably of seconds, maybe minutes. And these guys, what would you think if you're one of these sailors? You've been on the sea probably most of your life. You know these conditions. This doesn't happen. This isn't normal. What did they think? Wouldn't that be a great interview in heaven someday? What do you guys think? We're going to die. They were saved. They were saved physically at this point. A couple of thoughts. On your outline, I've told the story, and we're going to come back and pick up a couple of thoughts. First of all, remember, when God tells us to do something, we must do it. That's the first thing. That's coming out of verse 4. God is serious about us following what He wants us to do for our lives. Jonah said, nope, I'm going the other way. I'm not going to do it. And we talked about some of the reasons he may have done that. When He tells us to do something, do it. You see, there's a little blank below that. And it says this, not to do it is disobedience. When God speaks on an issue, you need to do it. Not to do it is called disobedience or disobeying God. Jonah was doing this clearly. Just a little lesson, just something for us to refresh our memory with. All right? Remember now, point two. God is gracious to you, except His salvation. The point of these sailors in verses 5 through 16 is that God was gracious to them. I'm going to explain the next verse and come back to this. But He was gracious. You see, if God wanted to, He could have killed Jonah, just like that. If God wanted to, He could have killed every one of these sailors. He could have done that. This is all leading me in a direction to say that God's purpose in discipline is not to kill us. He could do that. There's got to be other purposes in Him disciplining us. Look at verse 16. At this, the sea is now calm. The men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to Him. You know what? I think they went down on that deck and went to their knees and said, this is not of anything we've seen. There is a God. It is the God of this guy doing the backstroke out here in the water. And God, if You're there, we believe in You. And we're going to sacrifice to You. And that's in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice. That's what they knew to do at that time. And they made vows and promises. And we don't know what all of those are. But probably if we ever get back to land, we're going to follow this God. No matter what He says. No what He does. No matter what He tells us to do. I believe, I'm not alone in this, and it's debated. I believe that these sailors came to faith in Christ. It was simple faith plus nothing else. Simple faith that they came to faith in Him. They were saved physically, but I believe they were also saved spiritually. at this point. God is gracious to you. Accept His salvation. We take it for granted too often. Verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah got a free ride. I have no idea how this happened. It's kind of fun to watch the Veggie Tales rendition of this. It's cute how they do that, and the whale comes and he goes inside. See, the point is, when God disciplines, there's got to be another reason. He could have killed if he wanted. He could have wiped him out if he wanted. There's got to be more to this than that. What is there for us? First of all, God does discipline. Make no mistake about it. He does. He comes after His children because He loves His children. And He disciplines them. But God has a point when He does it. It's just not to wipe us out or annihilate us. And this story gives us that example. He could have done that, but He didn't. Remember, point three. God's discipline is to perfect you. This is what it's about. It's to perfect you. It's to grow you. It's to help you walk with Him. You see, God is a perfect father. I am not a perfect dad. And the dads in here would have to say with me, they are not either. So would the moms too. But we have a perfect heavenly Father. When He disciplines you, it is for your good. It is to perfect you and to grow you. Now, in the book of Jonah, it doesn't say this. But what is really neat is in the book of Hebrews, we're going to look at a couple of verses that we put together with Jonah that help us to better understand this. Now, you've got a couple of lines on your outline. In that first line, let's look at Hebrews 12, 5b and 6. And it says this, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline." He does it. He will do it. He will come after you. "And do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines," say the next phrase with me, "those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son." God loves you enough that when you and I go off in the wrong direction, for Jonah, it was Tarshish. For us, it's the wrong direction, the wrong choices, things we know we shouldn't do. He can, and He might, and He will come after you. Okay, the second blank you have there, let's put in there Hebrews 12, 10 and 11. And this is an interesting, it's in all of this is in Hebrews 12. "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us," say it with me, "for our good, that we may share in His holiness." Now this is true, isn't it? No discipline is really exciting at the time. Wait a minute. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been what? Trained by it. All right, so a couple of thoughts here. He does it for our good. He does it to perfect us. He does it to grow us, that we can share in His holiness. That's why He disciplines you. That's why He disciplines me. Because He wants us to share in His holiness and in His character. Now, here's the key. Most people going through this process have not been trained by it, right? When the discipline comes, we want to do what? We want to run. We don't want anything to do with it. And it's hard and it hurts. And it's humbling yourself and it's admitting you're wrong and He's right. Thing is, I think there's people that they never learn. They never get trained by it. They just have hard hearts, wrong attitudes, and they just live their lives that way. God says, no, I'm going to give you a chance to get right with Me and with others. And it's a process you go through. Then He says, if you can be trained by it, if you'll be open to it, to me and my process in your life, you can grow from it. Now, not only does this happen in, as we're talking about the book of Jonah, but you know, in church, there is a process for church discipline. You might think, well, I've never heard of that, or maybe you're very familiar with it. There is this process. It does take place in church. And God in His wisdom in the New Testament said, you know what? When people have disagreements or arguments or are not together on something, in my wisdom, I want to give you a process to go through. And so let's turn now. That last line is for Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 and 16. It says this, here's the process. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. This is not easy, is it? This is hard stuff, but God said, this is the way I want to do it. If he sins, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, praise God. But if not, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take now one or two other along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So here's the deal. When you have to go through this process, you need to go first of all by yourself or maybe with one other person, then see what the response is. If the response is not biblical, then you go to the next step. And the next step would involve two or three people. Probably the step after that that most churches would use would probably be going to the board of the church and talking to the board of the church. Then it says something that's really difficult but needs to be done. If he refuses to listen to them, look at this, tell it to the church. And if he refers to listen, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, this is a really strong phrase. Treat him as you would a pagan and a tax collector. In other words, ask them to leave. Be gone. This takes courage. This takes guts. But it's what the church has to do when there are cases of people that are this far out of line that go through this process. It involves disruption of unity in a church. It involves disrespect of leaders in a church. And let me say this. We will as a church practice this. There's no doubt we're not going to do this if we have to. We will practice this. Church discipline is part of God's plan. The point of it is to help someone see their error and turn them back to God. But it's all about them and how they respond to it. Now, in the example of Jonah, Jonah saw the error of his way, but he had to go for a little swim for a while. And we're going to look at that next week. But he saw his error, and he came back. That is what we desire to do as a church. That is the point. And it takes courage to do this. It takes guts. But it's biblical. And so we'll do it. Finally, let me put all this together. Last part of it. God wants to teach and train you. That's the point. Is God disciplining me? Well, yeah, we have an example in the Old Testament of it happening. It could be that. If he's doing that in your life, and sometimes it's really hard to know, but if he is, be open to his teaching and training. It may be a trial. It may be something you're going through that God wants to work in another area of your life, and that's James 1. Or it just could be bad decisions, and you're just living as a result of one bad decision after another. That happens too. I think when you get to a point in your life like this, probably one of the most helpful things to do is to talk with some people that you know and say, is God punishing me? And tell them your story. And let them pray for you and walk beside you. That's why the church is about fellowship. And doing these things so that you can benefit by the wisdom and experience of the church and go through a time like this where you go through and it profits you And that's the bottom line. What God wants to do, God wants to work in your life. Amen? Next week, we're going to look at a big fish story. We're going to look at one verse next week. We're going to talk about this verse. Could this really have happened? Come on, a guy swallowed by a great fish? Oh, no, that didn't happen, did it? Or did it? We're going to take some time and spend some time in one verse next week. A really big fish story. See what God has to teach us from that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for Jonah, one of your choice servants, and boy, did he blow it. Thank you for that example, because, Lord, I blow it. We, as your people, blow it. Thank you for this example of you coming after in love and care and concern for your man, wanting to be there, wanting to work in his heart and his life. Lord, help us to be open to the training that you have for us in our lives. Lord, thank you for this message, and thank you for the lesson it teaches us, that above all else, you love us enough to come after us, to help us see our error. Help us to be open to that in our hearts and our spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can give to you. We do that because we are grateful for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.